Welcome. It's Friday. It's Black Life. Big shout out to everybody listening. I know we've got an extra, extra large audience today. Because Vilmarie's back.
Oh, thank you.
Notice how I'm celebrating.
Yes. I actually haven't seen you in how long?
It's been a minute.
It's been too long.
It's been a minute.
Cape Town. Yeah. Where you stepped on my toe.
I did. I was missing you that much.
Yes.
You
know? I feel so welcome.
Well, like usual, second week in a row, Dumisha's missing in action. I hope he doesn't get paid by the station. But let's welcome our guest, Vilmarie.
Who do you want to... Okay, my guest first. I've got Adele
my
here.
My guest. It's all our guests.
I mean, our guests. Mm. Mine, yours, ours.
Yes, I like that.
Adele.
Say that again.
So we're going to talk a little bit about recruitment with her just now.
Okay.
And then who's... Is it Lebo?
Yeah.
Lebo from?
From the Hookup Dinner.
Cool. I've heard... Actually, yes. That's quite interesting too. Big stuff happening there. Because I interviewed... What's his name? Sbu.
Okay.
Mm. And he spoke about the Hookup Dinner. Yeah. So... Yeah, I think we got some good stuff lined up.
Okay, well, I'll let Vilmarie run the show from here. So, cheers, everybody. It's been nice.
No.
Happy Friday. Drinks on us. Spoo, let's go. Let's go. He's listening as well.
Oh, is he listening?
Yes, he's listening. He's listening.
See,
he just sent me a big shout out on Twitter.
Oh, I'm going to take a pic because I bought candy socks from him.
Okay.
So, I've got to send him a pic.
Okay, awesome.
So, yeah. I'll explain just now.
Well, welcome, guys. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Black Life.
Thank you so much.
Welcome, Adele. Thank welcome, Mr. Lips. Yes, Vilmarie?
No, I think let's start with Lebo.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you here, brother?
I wonder.
I just saw you in studio. I was like, okay, Lebo's here, you know. Let's welcome him. But I know you're doing other things from the hookup dinner. Excuse me. I know you're... this man is going places. Africa as a continent can't hold this man down. I can
awesome.
Tell you that. Like on air live, everybody knows, it's on record. That man is going places. But over and above the hookup dinners, which you'll also have to like describe and tell everybody.
Yeah.
What else are you doing? What's happening?
So we're currently busy with the Festival of Entrepreneurship. It launches on Sunday.
Okay.
Second year running.
Okay. What's it called?
The Festival of Entrepreneurship.
Okay.
It's in celebration of Global Entrepreneurship Week, and
awesome.
It will be a week-long festivity. It's a mashup of workshops, night markets, and a lot of pitching, a lot of prizes. We've pretty much organized everybody within the startup ecosystem and said, let's get together, let's collaborate. In fact, our theme for this year is collaboration is the new innovation.
Right.
That is fantastic.
Yeah. It's essentially about creating a platform for startups and ensuring that they access the opportunities that are out there where funders are saying, we've got the money, but there seems to be a mismatch somewhere. And we've said, look, let's forget about all the formalities.
Right.
Let's get together and jam.
Okay.
Mm. So where will this be?
It's going to happen in Maboneng Precinct. Pretty much it's about 15 events a day. So we've got we've got about 60 events altogether. It will be Africa's largest.
Over a period of?
Of 5 days.
5 days, whole week.
Sunday is the launch, so we've got high delegates there. And then the rest of the week, it's just startups and workshops and all the different players within the ecosystem delivering content and ensuring that they're not just talk shops. It's more about actionable stuff.
Right.
Around accessing opportunities. That's what we're interested in more than anything.
So if you're saying content, explain that. So if I want to come, so it's anything from Sunday the 16th, am I right?
Now it's the launch.
It's the launch.
Is she invited?
Of course, that's why I'm here.
Yes. Well, I was going to invite myself.
You see, that's the problem. See, Huda Macy's, you can't take them anywhere. They just invite
all
themselves.
We're done. No, the invitation will be in your inbox. So Sunday is just a formal launch. It's very brief. It's about 3 hours. It will happen. You know that Maboneng has got Arts on Main.
Yes.
So this that whole market environment. And why we took it there is because it's a mashup of entrepreneurial activity.
Yeah.
And there's all these different people that are there and they're just doing their own thing. It's little entrepreneurs that have got together.
Yeah.
And by becoming a community, we're achieving so much more because we're collaborating. Whatever that I don't have, I'm able to access through somebody else around me.
Right,
and
right.
That's essentially why we're launching it there. And then the rest of the week, it's ensuring that when I say content, I'll give you an example. We've got Gibbs. They've got something called the Ideas Festival. And we'll have entrepreneurs pitching for money. It's about 100,000 rand worth of investment that will come out of that.
What?
We've got entrepreneurs that are pitching, like your Skinny Spoo.
Yeah.
He came out of the Hookup Dinner platform. In fact, we discovered him last year this time.
Yeah.
At the festival.
Okay.
And a year later, he can't keep up with sock orders, and he's even in our seed capital project where we've invested in his startup and in ensuring that we take him to the next level. We want to take our African startups global, and it starts with us. We were like, let's create the platform and let's invite the players to come
yeah,
closer.
Yeah. Now, a little bird let the birdie out the cage to say that one of the banks has come on board.
Mm. And it's a key milestone for us. Purely because we're the small guys. We've got Standard Bank. They're powering up innovation. So they've said, instead of going out there advertising ourselves and saying we help entrepreneurs, they said, let's really put our money where our mouth is at. We've just recently come back from Kenya, for instance, where we did an exploration trip. And we launched the Hookup Dinner there with the assistance of Standard Bank. And for us, it was to go and find out, what are other African startups doing out there? And we found that we pretty much link up. The demand for the Hookup Dinner out there is so alive, and it creates opportunities for South African startups to start being able to travel and access these markets where they, instead of playing in their own little silo here in South Africa. So travel is a key component of what we are trying to introduce to local startups by connecting them to the African market. And Standard Bank will help us to do that throughout the continent. And it starts with the festival.
So this is not just a South Africa project.
No, we're going global.
But we're starting local.
Of course.
And that's why you're starting here and bringing everyone together.
Yes.
Just explain what a startup mean for, you know, the listeners. Mm. I also want to understand exactly what does that mean.
Well, a startup is somebody that has got a company, usually under the age of 2 years old as a company. And you've got the kind of company that is looking to make an impact and is scalable. It's very important that you need to understand your business, that it can scale. So you are not a startup, for instance, if you're running a cafe, that you're not willing to franchise out.
Yes, okay.
It's all about creating growth. Businesses that can grow very fast.
Yeah. Okay. So and create employment and all those nice things.
Yeah.
So now, if someone's got to start a business and they haven't heard of your event happening, how do they? Can they still sign on?
Of course they can. We've got a website called the Festival of Entrepreneurship. This is specifically for this week in terms of getting people as a rally to action. But if you want to access the Hookup Dinner on a regular basis, we have a presence across the country, Cape Town, Durban, we're in East London last night where we had the Hookup Dinner. And
Why weren't we invited, by the way?
It's East London. London.
Yes. We're national.
My apologies.
He's saying you should have paid for the flight.
Now I know. you can access it on multiple digital platforms. Just search for the Hookup Dinner. I would advise that you go onto YouTube and see the videos. It's always something beautiful about watching live action.
Yeah.
And we live stream our events to ensure that people get to access the action. I mean, we had entrepreneurs from Kenya that were chilling there, commenting on the pitches, elevator pitches that were happening in East London.
So forget Dragon's Den. I mean, we done with that. We've got
It's about getting the small guy onto a platform and giving them a voice. The rest takes care of itself.
But you know, I think what you said just now is the key thing. It's people, everyone generally wants to own everything and they want to have full control and not share and not help each other. Am I right in saying that this platform seems to be where people can link up and help grow instead of just trying to do it all on their own, which will take 10 times longer?
Yes, I'll give you an example. My company is called Let's Go Global Investments.
How much?
Life's Good Global Investments. That's the name of the company.
Okay.
The Hookup Dinner is an initiative under that. And under the Hookup Dinner, the team itself is formed by 8 startups that are based in Joburg.
Okay.
We are all event specialists in different areas. Some are photographers, some are videographers, some are tech people. All the different elements that make sure that an event is successful. So as opposed to myself trying to make sure that everything works well, how about I work with specialists that are passionate about what they do in their areas of focus? And we've brought this team together. And just by bringing these people together and creating this thing, it has spiraled out of control, where we've got multiple teams across the country with the same formulation. So you've got 6 teams of 6 startups in each and every city. And what that does, it creates new opportunities for internship, as we scale. There's issues of capacity and that requires you to employ more people. We've seen it with our business. We've employed more people, and each and every startup that is within our movement is forced to start getting in interns and other employees that can take on the load of work. And that is that's essentially what we are trying to do with it, as opposed to saying we've got this big project and we want to employ the people. We know that we don't have the capacity to employ, but through collaborating with other startups, there's so much more that we can create. And that's what we're kind
of. So what does it mean being part of your movement for a startup?
It's as simple as once you've signed up, and by signing up, I'm just saying once you've subscribed to our mailing list, you are able to access the events. You RSVP. It's free events that you attend. We don't charge the startups, purely because we want to make sure that they're able to access it. You buy your own dinner. We ensure that a startup is selling dinner at the event. Okay. Drinks are normally are below market rate prices. So we make sure that the environment is conducive to somebody that is starting out.
Yes.
And we commercialize it, is ensuring that once we've got the community, we approach a Standard Bank, we approach a GEP, we approach multiple stakeholders, and we say, we've got the community that you're looking for. You can only engage with us if the kind of product that you have speaks to this community. Mm. I'll give you an example. In South Africa, we are powered by South African Breweries, which is the SAB Kickstart program, particularly the Enterprise Development Program.
Wait, do they give you guys money?
Of course. We don't do this thing for free.
Okay. Nope. I like that.
Nope. We can't. We're entrepreneurs.
We'll be mad. Yeah. Okay. I give my loser board.
But in how we've done it, we've ensured that SAP cannot push their product. And by product, they're not there to push sales volumes. They will bring the alcohol. But what we are essentially providing them with is a platform where they can come and farm entrepreneurs into their program. Through their enterprise. Like, this is why we don't partner
subtle
necessarily
marketing.
With subtle marketing and it where people can relate and its services.
So those guys at GP, I'm not gonna call people names,
mm-hmm.
even though I can. They rejected us a while ago. What's the conversion rate in terms of like linking up entrepreneurs to businesses?
So our relationship with GEP is fairly new, like literally it's a month old. And what we've challenged them, so how we engage brands, we first invite them onto the platform, say come and see what's happening.
Right.
Sit in the audience, you're not important, just chill, watch the action. They see entrepreneurs pitching, they see entrepreneurs engaging, networking, doing things amongst themselves, and in a very carefree environment. So we take the golf boys club and bring it to the hookup dinner, and then we say to the golf boys, you're not important, you're just ordinary like everybody else in the room. See what happens, see the amount of value that is created just by human connection and human interaction that is happening in the room. And they fall in love with that because it's authentic. It's not forced. It's not, you know, it's just one of those authentic
networking.
Things that are happening. It's networking at its most basic level. It's almost like it's a safe space. It's like when alcoholics go to AA, it's a space where they open up there, they can't be judged. So when you're an entrepreneur at the hookup dinner, we can't judge you. In fact, when you pitch and you stutter, I saw an entrepreneur stuttering last night in East London. There was this thing that was so different from what you see when experts are in a room and they're trying to
break you down
and saying you suck, your pitch sucks and whatnot.
Yeah,
I saw a community of people that were like, no, go on.
Yeah.
And what that did is it builds confidence for this person to try again next time.
Yeah,
and that's essentially what we're trying to do. We're saying people.
About to ask whether did he now make the next round, or you know, dude, did he pull a Simon Cowell on him and say, "Go home, buddy."
No, so it's not about lying to you either, but it's in how we're giving you feedback. It's contributing to ensuring that you succeed.
Right.
So we'll give you critical feedback in a way that builds you as opposed to a way that breaks you.
Okay.
And it's about try again. The platform is available and it exists for you to do this thing. And I mean, even the kind of prizes that we give on the platform, we're not giving a car away or 10,000 rand or anything of that nature. We'll make sure that we give you petrol money. It's 2,000 rand that just ensures that you can cover a few of your airtime, your petrol, you make sure you can buy coffee when you get to meetings. It's like literally about servicing the startup at the most basic level. And from our side, by farming the bottom of the pyramid, entrepreneurs and people that are thinking about getting into business, it allows us to walk the journey. So what is currently happening within the space is that a lot of programs exist that are meant to service entrepreneurs, that are meant to invest in entrepreneurs, but there's nobody that is willing to pick them up from the ground and move up.
Everyone
with them.
Wants a finished
product. They want
product.
A finished product.
So what are the steps? So from the hookup dinner, what other programs do you have in place as a means of walking that path with them?
I'll give you a typical example. So we've got Skinny Spoo. He's our most famous example right now.
Well, he was here A few weeks ago, he was we interviewed him.
Well, you're late. You already spoke about it. So you're on Black Man's Time. Shame on you,
African man.
You said it.
So he was giving a talk the other time at one of our varsity campus talks, and he's like, "I'm Skinny Spoo from CNN," you know, because he was featured on CNN. Our job is to make sure that they expose, and as to what they do with that exposure, it's up to them. It's that next level. From our side, in terms of how we are intentional about making sure that we farm them and then we help them to develop, we plug them into programs like the Branson Center of Entrepreneurship, where an entrepreneur is trained on the basics of business. It's not high level stuff. It's just basics of ensuring that you kind of get clarity as to what are you doing with your idea. And we've got a seed capital project in-house, which we've partnered with a VC firm, which is Edge Growth, as well as SAB Kickstart. Currently, it sits at 300,000 rand, and we've got...
A pool.
That's the pot.
Okay.
For this year, because it's a pilot project. So we said, let's try this thing out. Let's invest in ideas, and let's see what happens. And we can monitor it because we walk in the journey with these entrepreneurs. And should it succeed, the verdict will come out end of December. We will move from 300,000 rand to a couple of millions, which I cannot divulge. But
why not?
Because
you can steal them. Let's go.
Not yet. Of course, we can't. Yeah.
I'll go with you.
Then we leave Uncle Tuabi out the way.
but this is essentially once we've helped you, we've given you a step up. We want to introduce you to the next players within the ecosystem. Because it's not like players like the GEP are not doing their job. It's that
I reckon they're not.
I beg to differ.
Okay.
In the sense that in every organization, there's people that are doing their job. But there's also people that are slacking.
Mm.
And usually you'll find that the rep that comes out of any organization will come out from the small incidences that are not managed well. So what we are trying to do, for instance, with GEP, we've said, look, we've engaged the CEO and she came and spoke on the platform and she committed there. And because we're recording these things, we put them out on the public platforms and you say, look, if you screw up, people... We've got a reference point. So it motivates them to start doing things better and to start managing expectations a whole lot better.
Mm.
They took entrepreneurs from the hookup dinner, the guys that had pitched, and they plugged them into the Business and Franchise Expo that happened about a month ago.
Yeah.
And everybody sold out. So those are the little interventions that we are talking about. We don't want to go to that next level of, we don't understand higher processes because we're a startup movement.
Right.
And we want to service things that we understand around our area of speciality, which is right. just about bringing people together and connecting them to opportunities.
When does it stop being a startup? At which point is it not a startup anymore?
After 2 years, you
said. Because I know it's about being scalable.
Yes.
And that's one of the key criteria of defining a startup.
Mm-hmm.
But at which point do you go from not being a startup to being an established business?
I think after 2 years, so there's milestones along the way. If you're working according to a program, I mean, there's something called the Lean Startup Machine, for instance.
Yep. Very Greece.
Yeah, it's all about those pivots and just at every step, finding out as to whether you've reached a certain milestones. And if you haven't, you've got to start thinking about, have I fallen in love with this idea and it's not working? Or am I ready to change this idea? Should somebody tell me that this thing will not be scaled up?
Right.
Do you have an age, suggested age for people to join? Or can it be straight out of school?
It can be straight out of school.
What is the age now?
So, I mean, here's an example I love. We had, it was last year, around August. We had a 73-year-old man who decided, I want to come out of retirement and I'm starting a business.
Okay.
And he came to the hookup dinner, Lani Botha's father. And he started his business. It was in photography. He was excited about it. And he was excited at the fact that there were authentic connections happening within the room.
Mm.
Unfortunately, he passed away like 2 months later. But it tells you something about the culture that is brewing in South Africa. Yes. We all want to do something. We just need a platform that enables us to do what we're really passionate
connect
about.
Connect everyone.
Yeah.
And the youngest?
The youngest, I mean, Spoo is old compared to...
Oh, is it? What, isn't he like 22 or something?
He is, but we've got like 18-year-olds that are doing some crazy stuff.
It's awesome, because... So what you're saying, I mean, it's interesting to have Adele here now on the recruitment side. So, I mean, in terms of employing youngsters and everyone, and then you guys are helping them... to if they want to start their own business, basically. So it's two very different, because starting your own business is not easy and it's not for everyone, let's be honest.
Mm.
Anyone you ask, I mean, Adele included. You know, I think you do what you do. What, I mean, let's ask you straight. What's in it for you?
What's in it for me is, look, for the longest
charging
time,
the corporate
money, money.
No, wait. I did things for money for a long time. It didn't work out.
So what drives you to do this?
No, man. No.
So you've got to understand my
point
my
of list. Order here, comrade. You are saying you're not doing this for money.
No, understand my priority list.
Okay, let's hear this. I have to hear this.
No, you have to.
Yes.
I do this because I love it. And what is it that I'm doing? I'm a connector. It's all I do.
You're following your passion.
I bring people together, and bringing there people together pays me. I hope you understand the yes.
things of that nature.
Well, you ain't gonna pay your Ferrari now. Let's be
no,
honest.
But he's saying it's paying in two ways. It's paying personally and financially.
Yes.
Am I right?
It is.
You see, you must listen.
You don't take that to your grave, though. Vilmarie, I don't know about. Are you married?
Yeah, I'm married.
Okay, so
no, you want to hook me up again?
Ah.
I'm hooked at the hookup dinner.
That's
not why it's there.
You know, it's the hookup dinner because we can hook you up. You see,
in business, not relationship. Hey, I'm hooked. You've missed it. You haven't been around.
Oh, really, Uncle Twabi? Welcome.
I wish,
huh? Mm. Wait, now let's be clear here. Mm. Adele, I'm going to bring you in, okay? We love getting headhunted, but for the right reasons. Because when I hear you pronounce that, well, this is your basic salary of X amount, right?
Right.
This is what I want to earn, and this is what I'm worth, and this is what I can drive, this is the house I can move into. And he's telling me the opposite.
Do you want to hear another example?
Please, I have to hear this because I'm traumatized right now.
Have you heard of DFID, the Department of International Development from the UK?
Yes, yes, yes.
They offered me a job because of the activity that of my role within the startup space.
Okay, okay.
And this job was going to allow me to stay in London with my family, but be able to travel between Ghana, Kenya, and South Africa and build up the ecosystems that they're looking for.
Right,
pretty
right.
much what we... But it had a secure environment.
Yeah.
Had I taken on that, dude... I'd be living a good life. But
I had to
decide between my passion and purpose and just straight up money.
And your values, Lebo.
My yes. values are the biggest thing.
Yeah.
And for me, I looked at it and I was like, I'm still going to get there. In fact, I'm going to surpass whatever that I'm being offered and doing it my own way. Mm. I've been in the corporate game. I enjoyed it. But it was not fulfilling. What I'm doing now... I mean, I've done a lot of events before, which were just about entertainment. Mm. But
right.
now I feel like I've found that, you know the thing where...
You found Jesus.
Where passion meets purpose type of thing. And it pays me. And I love it because it still does all the things that I need. I get to travel. I went to the UK where I was invited to come and deliver a talk about the hookup dinner. I wouldn't be able to do that if I was in a corporate job somewhere.
Exactly.
I've been to Rwanda, Kenya, Israel, Botswana. You know, we're going to all these places.
Right.
Doing what we love doing, as opposed to what we're getting paid to do. But we're getting paid in the process of doing that. I don't know if...
Sometimes it takes a bit longer, but...
it does.
You know, money-wise. But
sorry.
I think it's... I think it's more sustainable. I mean, these days, working for someone, it has its risks. Let's be honest. Mm. I mean...
Absolutely. No such thing as a secure job.
No. I mean, you can get fired any time. I think you're more secure. Yes, it is hard work. Yes, there is risks involved building your own empire.
Mm.
But it is, for me, in the long run, if you do it right. And like with all the support you guys are giving, for example, to be more sustainable than working for someone. I don't know, Adele, if you...
No, I think the passion is what really drives you. And as they say, if you're doing what you really enjoy, you don't work a day in your life.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I think you have a really, really good example of that.
And how old are you, young man?
I'm 34.
Sheepers.
My age. It's
actually older than you.
Sheepers.
No, look, the funny thing is, here's a guy who's an entrepreneur who's doing exactly what he loves, how he wants...
doesn't look like he's loving it.
He's like not
shaking
not believing
his head.
It. No, he left corporate and he decided to do his own thing. So I don't know what he's crying about.
BC, do you have regrets?
I do.
What?
That's why you're in studio, Adele, because I need a job.
He needs
now.
Recruit. He needs to be recruited now.
I kind of need a five. I'm pitching myself at the 5 million rand mark.
Pity, I think you need a psychologist.
You know what? That's actually a good starting point because I think people, firstly, people have a perception about starting off salaries when they go to recruitment companies. Am I right? They don't know what they were.
Sometimes unrealistic ones. Yes.
Totally unrealistic.
I'm one of those. Can I just say? Yeah. 5 million rand, I think. But in this day
and the Ferrari.
Yeah, that's a prerequisite.
But I mean, where do you go to see if what you know and what your experience, etc., what will it allow you salary-wise? You know.
I think one of the best ways to check that out is on the internet. Go and search the jobs that are in line with what you're looking for, and you'll get a good idea of what people are offering out there. Yes, it's a bit of a slog to go out there and search on the internet.
So there's no site. So there's nothing available that says to people, you know, if you're in accounting, you should start off here, and if you're away over this, then you like BC. Salary-wise.
There are salary surveys, but it seems that most of these salary surveys are circulated to the companies rather than to the people that are out there working.
Well, that's what I have found. That's why, I mean, young people now, entrepreneurs, for example, or people who want to gain experience with companies do not know where to start off. So they end up underselling themselves or accepting the bare minimum in salary, can hardly get to work and back.
Again and again, yes.
And then end up not being able to stay in their job because of
being exploited because they can't actually make ends meet.
Exactly. They're so desperate to get that job that they accept what the recruitment company tells them they should earn.
They should be earning.
So what do you guys do in that case?
Well, I think when we deal with our clients, we try to guide them with regards to what salaries are suitable within that particular position, taking into account the amount of experience, qualifications, and what have you. So to a large extent, it's our job to educate our clients as to where their suggested salary lies within the market. You know, is it on the high end of the market? Is it on the lower end of the market? Or is it just plain stupid? And we do come across that. And it's not a job we're likely to take on if we feel that they're going to exploit the people that we're putting forward. That's not what we're there for. We're there for to protect our clients and our candidates, the people that are applying for the jobs. So from an agency perspective, we'd actually walk away from that sort of company.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. Because there's no long-term sustainability. I wouldn't want to place you in a company where I know they're not going to treat you well and they're not going to pay you what you're worth.
Yeah.
And it's my job to check.
And you also get a percentage placement. So if it's low, then it also doesn't make
sense.
I think the truth shall prevail.
Yeah, but BC's one is high, so your percentage will be...
But that 5 million placement, BC, I'll place you tomorrow.
Here's a question. I mean, like, there's certain situations where you get offered a job, not through an agency per se.
Okay.
Somebody who knows somebody, here's a job. And they always come to you on some, okay, you've got the job, but send us your current pay slip. Mm. And I always feels like, no, but what if the job was like 50 to 60K a month? I'm currently on 20K a month. And me supplying this means that if you guys give me 30, you can get away with paying me 30 instead of what you would have initially prepared yourself to pay for. How does one work around that? Are you at liberty to say no? What are you offering? Is it a fair thing to say that, or is it a bit arrogant?
I wouldn't say it's arrogant. Obviously, it depends on how you approach the subject. But it often happens that companies advertise a position, say between, let's for instance say between 500 and 600 K per annum, and the applicant applies and gets the job, and they offer him 525. And he says, but you had your salary range was up to 600, and as you rightly say, am I not worth the 600? Yes, it does happen, and I do feel you have the right to ask.
I think there's times when it's not even it might not have been advertised, because I think some jobs don't get advertised. It's through somebody you know, and it's
social
and
media.
So yeah, and you get and you happen to be the right person, and they offer you the job. So there's no way of going to check, say, well, actually, you guys advertise this position at 700K per annum. But now you're asking me for my payslip, and I want to have that 700K. You guys had pegged this thing. I don't want to be a saving. It's just something that's always bothered me because.
I don't think that's always their motivation. Yeah. You know, and strangely, a lot of people don't understand their payslips, and you might be quite surprised to hear that. But often when we sit with the candidates and we go through their payslip with them, and they'll say, okay, their cost to company is X amount. And we say to them, but hang on, you're actually getting more than that because they haven't taken certain things into account.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's what companies, well, HR departments in companies are just trying to make sure that you actually know exactly what, obviously at higher level people do know, but your sort of mid-level and lower level. And some salary slips are really difficult to read. They don't always realize that they have extra perks. Yeah. Because it doesn't always reflect on
the company's paying it for them.
They're paying it for them, yeah.
So it is a benefit, and it's not, but it's not physically coming out of their pocket necessarily. Yes, and then, but it's part of the structure.
And candidates aren't always thinking, oh, but you know what? I actually get a mid-year bonus, or little added perks. Yeah.
We're always hearing that there aren't jobs out in the market. Is that a fair reflection? Is it a case of people just aren't appropriately qualified? What's the actual situation from an agency perspective? Because all we hear is
there's no jobs. No, there are jobs out there. I mean, we advertise on a number of job portals, and they often give you the stats of how many jobs have been placed in a week. And on one job portal, we sometimes see over 20,000 jobs being advertised in a week. So the jobs are there. I think where the problem lies is people don't have the ability to sell themselves. With social media being as it is these days, we really need to learn to sell. People are shy to announce to the world what they can do.
So where does social media come into this?
Where does social media come into? I think as recruiters, and I know companies, not just agencies as well, we become cyber super sleuths.
Yes.
You know, we really scour the internet.
Really? And,
yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yep. Are we, that's what we're asked. Almost stalkers, BC.
I know LinkedIn, yes.
That's LinkedIn, but we don't stop there. Yeah, if I get a good candidate in.
Well, that's where we meet.
Oh, yes, I've met Vilmarie on LinkedIn.
Really?
And that's where we find a lot of our candidates.
So would you look at their Twitter feed? Would you look at their Facebook thing?
Absolutely, because it tells me so much about you. Person.
But that's this dangerous part with social media, because don't be silly posting stuff that will cause you not to get a job.
Yeah. Well, and as I said, you wouldn't put it on a billboard, don't put it on social media. Yeah. And it's so true.
So here's another question then, specific to social media.
I think he's job hunting,
Facebook. BC. No, this really
he's advising
me.
People.
This really interests me, because the part of being a super sleuth, for instance, my personal Facebook account is closed
disgusting.
Off only it is it's actually quite it's
disgusting.
I talk a lot of
don't
nonsense.
Follow Bohosi Matsita.
Anyway, my point was, it's locked off, so only my friends theoretically
your privacy
see
settings
that.
Are
yeah. But the question is then, are you guys able to, through IT and whatever,
no.
Would you go that far in your no. in your being a super sleuth?
No, we won't do anything illegal.
Because I mean, for me, that's part of the reason why I keep it only open. I'm comfortable to say things that I say there, because I think it's open to a few select friends who know and understand me, whereas my Facebook page is more
public
marketing and my what I'll
your public
speak about
persona. Yes.
So I just wanted to understand how far you guys will go with your
go.
Nancy Drewsties.
Well, as you mentioned, your privacy settings, which are Facebook has become more and more you're able to select exactly who can see what, except that your public profile photograph is always visible. Excuse me. And
you must have seen a couple of crazy public profiles.
She's very passionate about that.
I have seen crazy public profiles. You set your settings there, but a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
They don't even know how to. Yeah. And that's part of our job. We do branding workshops where we help people to. We call it Job Search Gym, and it's basically putting a job on steroids. And social media is one area that we cover quite extensively, because we need to show them this is how you actually set your privacy settings on Facebook, and make sure that at least your profile picture is decent. Even if the rest of it isn't, just make sure that photograph is appropriate should you be looking for a job.
Yeah.
LinkedIn is extremely interesting for us, because we can see which groups you're following. We can see which people you're following. Now, if you tell me that you're passionate about your industry and your profession, I would expect that you're following – certain thought leaders groups, yeah. Within that area.
Yeah, really.
So this tells me, you know, this person is passionate. I mean, I would like to see Lebo's LinkedIn profile.
Yeah.
Do you have one, Lebo?
I do.
You do?
But I think it would be like me. I mean, it's everyone. It's different industries. So that would also depend on, you know, where your interests are. For me, it's everything.
Well,
here's
a question. I mean, even on LinkedIn, none of those are people that actually upload content.
Yes.
Does that count when you look at that and you see somebody who actually, and does it count to employers as well? Because a lot of people would rather post stuff on Facebook, on Twitter, and they would neglect to actually upload decent, thought-provoking, interesting content on LinkedIn, which in a way says a lot. So, but I'm saying, if you are trying to find a job, you're probably better placed spending more time finding the right content to upload on LinkedIn, so that somebody coming onto your profile can actually see that on Facebook.
Look, LinkedIn is an amazing place where you can showcase your talents. I mean, you can upload videos, you can upload documents, references,
slide share.
And to me, your LinkedIn profile is really your stage where you can show off your brand.
Mm.
And taking that extra time to, as you say, put valuable content, not just on your profile, but in groups. Groups are extremely beneficial. You know, you're filtering into a lot more connections when you get to groups. People tend to forget about the groups and they focus completely on their profile. But yeah, the groups are opening up to a lot more connections. So yes, make valuable comments.
Mm. I thought it was just a show.
Level, you're trending on Twitter, by the way. So I thought I should just let you know. Sumisho Masha is tweeting Jackie McKay Wilson, the optimist. They're all loving your collaboration is the new innovation. So,
yeah, I think it's awesome.
Thank you.
I love that too, Lebo. That's really cool.
So now that you're causing mayhem on our timeline, how do you now basically hunt within the entrepreneurship space? And I'd like to hear both of you, because, you know, startups don't really think of the human capital that's required.
No.
And yet they can't afford
to have the wrong people.
Mm. Yes.
So how do you marry that? Do you even have like entrepreneurship based companies, or are they too small fries?
I love that, and I mean that's why I've been so intrigued by what Lebo's had to say.
Mm.
I love supporting small businesses, and I would give them all the advice I possibly could. Mm. And
I need people. I don't need advice, Adele. I need people.
Yes, but you need to choose
people.
The right people. And Lebo mentioned earlier on values. I think if you are an entrepreneur, you need to be very clear on what your values are. You need to know what your
values are.
The culture, absolutely.
Culture,
and you need to find people who have those same values. It's not going to work if you bring in people to a small business that are not like-minded and not passionate about what they do. And Lebo, what do you think?
We've had to let quite a few go because of that, whether it were culture clashes or they sold us a certain picture. But after a month, you're like, but this is not what you said, and, you know? And I think one of the key struggles for small businesses is the fact that we're afraid to employ.
Because of the big graph.
We don't read. So we hear what everybody's saying in the media about labor laws and how restrictive it is and whatnot. And you're like, I don't want to hire anybody.
Yes.
I would rather
have a one-man show.
Yeah, and it doesn't help and doesn't contribute to the agenda of the country.
Because there's only one of us.
Exactly.
I mean, you can't make two or three. We'd love to, but... Yeah.
One of my proposals that I do have for you, Adele, is...
I like this. We're hooking you up.
We can have a hook up.
You know?
Something that I've been thinking about, and I saw this a lot in Cape Town, and I'm not seeing it being replicated a lot across the country. It's a platform where recruiters can create an internship program that speaks directly to the needs of small businesses.
Fantastic.
And it gets proposed to the Jobs Fund.
I haven't seen that.
Or
that's
to enterprise development programs. And then that way you...
Wait, who's hooking who up here?
I'm just listening to this and I'm thinking, okay, where's the legal firm from Cliff Central? I hope they're listening.
and in essence, I think it will address the needs of growth for entrepreneurs, but it would also protect us in terms of the legal framework around human resources under a program that is managed. So it's almost like an internship project of sorts where students or the people that are looking for jobs, they can, because there's so much more that you can get from a startup, because once you work for a small business, you need to be an all-rounder.
And you grow with them.
And exactly. And you get far more exposed. I mean, when I got into a learnership when I was working in corporate, some of my mates, I suppose, because of my nature, I worked in most departments during that internship.
Wait. Tell us about you. Like, mm-hmm. what's your qualifications? So that if Adele's got that 5 million rand job and it's not coming to me, you know, maybe you never know. That Ferrari, I'll come fetch it from your house, you know?
Well, I've done certificate courses around IT.
Okay.
That's what I used to love doing whilst I was in corporate. I was an electronic procurement specialist. I worked a lot with e-commerce, websites like your MyMarket and a whole lot of things like that. But where I've discovered my growth is in taking entrepreneurial education. And that is currently being taken in stages. So I've completed an advanced course with the Branson Center of Entrepreneurship.
Okay.
I've tried Gibbs. So I got into a program. I lasted 3 days.
Why?
On the third day, I couldn't take it anymore because I was required to be there from 7 to 5. And I was hoping that they were developing this content, thinking about an entrepreneur in the sense that I'm hoping they will not kill me for criticizing, but I have to put it out there. It's for entrepreneurs.
That,
yeah,
blame and
shame.
You can't educate entrepreneurs the same way that you educate
someone who's not employed.
Or intellectuals.
Exactly. Intellectuals.
Yeah, because we like heavy content and a whole day where I cannot be able to interact with my business.
That's
suicide.
Yeah,
it's suicide for a startup. Mm-hmm. And if somebody develops content that is in line with the lifestyle of an entrepreneur, then we'll see more success.
It'll work. Because and interactive.
Exactly. And you find that there's a lot of entrepreneurs who are dropping out of education. They're not doing what they're supposed to, because we need the education.
That's true.
You need your accounting degree. You need all these things that you were studying. You must complete it. But I feel like there's a mismatch in how this thing is being addressed. And then you find a lot of people calling themselves entrepreneurs, but they don't have a skill set that supports them. And that is a problem. It's a major problem that needs to be addressed.
It's a chance taker.
Exactly. You know?
For me personally, if I have to look at two people I need to employ, there's two people for the same job. And the one's got the experience and the other one's got the qualification. Mm. I must be honest with you, I'm going to employ the one with the experience. Depending on obviously what the position is. I'm not saying by this please don't shoot me down. I'm not saying qualifications are not.
I was about to shoot you down.
Qualification is not relevant. But for me, experience means a lot more in some cases. And we shouldn't neglect that, you know, because a lot of people have the qualifications, but they only have it because they studied it. Mm. Other than that, they're not taking it any further from people because they don't like it, they find out they hate it, and now they just can't change. So they're in that job 4 or 5 years later of studying, and they end up hating it, and they're no good at their job.
Mm.
Where there's someone that didn't have the funds maybe to get those qualifications, but they do have the drive, they do have the personality, the characteristics you're looking for.
I think, Mommy, as we said earlier, you're looking for passion.
Yes.
Whether they've got the qualifications or not.
Yeah.
You're looking for somebody who's passionate. That is a key thing, yeah.
We've got a caller on the line. Hello, Kirsten.
Hi, this is a question for Adele. I know you've been talking about qualifications and whether you need to go to varsity or not. My question is, a lot of online recruiters, you can't get past their firewall unless you've got some kind of degree. How do you get past that? Because there are many people, obviously, who are very experienced and will be great for the job, but they don't have the degree necessary to get past your online application system.
Kirsten, this is a challenge that so many people chat to me about, and these automated systems, I really don't like them. Some people are going to shoot me down about that. But I feel that they miss out on so many good people.
Yes.
Because they, even sometimes if you, we've had instances where we've had to make use of them and we can't find the right selection. You know, we're looking for somebody that's maybe got an N6 mechanical engineering. For some reason, they don't have that there. And so we have to take the next best one. Inevitably, it kicks us out. I think that's this way LinkedIn can be very handy, is that you can actually circumvent the automated systems, where you can actually start talking to people. So if you see that job advertised and for by a specific company, whether that be an agency or directly through a company, if you go onto LinkedIn, try to connect to people within that company and start chatting to them.
Right, okay, that's great advice.
It's a way in. It doesn't always work, but it often does.
Stalker tendencies.
Stalker tendencies, yes. <sorry. laughs>
Yeah, but it's well calculated.
Thank you for that answer, Adele. Yeah. Good advice.
Thank you so much, Kirsten.
Thank you, Kirsten.
What Kirsten is saying now is exactly what we were just busy talking about, you know, and in my opinion, that these people do have the experience and more than what their job requires. But because they don't have that selection qualification that the system allows, they're being thrown to the side.
Yeah, it's very sad.
And I mean, who all is doing this? I didn't even know about this automated system.
A lot of the bigger companies do have automated systems. I think they're so annoying because often you have to fill in literally your whole CV again.
Yes.
And they will kick you out on, they have sort of qualifying criteria. And yes, if your CV does not contain the same words, unless their SEO is really good and they've gone PA secretary and you know, 10 other words that mean the same thing, it's going to kick you out.
SEO meaning search engine.
Yes.
Optimization.
Okay. Yes. So, I mean, what do? Do we put in all 20 words that describe what we do?
Yeah.
It's just not personal. I think losing that is so sad.
Mm. But this is now where it comes in so nicely with what you guys are doing, Mabel, because it's startup businesses, entrepreneurs. So it cuts out that...
The clutter.
Yes. Or that... it's becoming unpersonal when you have that system. You know, absolutely. And they're also losing they have the risk of losing very valuable people.
Yeah.
Where now, you have entrepreneurs starting up that can get these people but can't afford them, for example. Mm. So this is now... Mm. I suppose the other challenge that you were talking about.
Yeah, look, I mean, for me, the thing is that you, on the one hand, you're saying there's lots of jobs out there.
Yeah.
And yet the general consensus out there is there's no jobs. And then you've got government promising 6 million jobs within so much time. And it's all very confusing to me. It just doesn't make sense to me because somewhere along the way,
I'm going to be very specific here. I've got white friends who say they can't get jobs because of affirmative action and employment equity.
Blacks are taking the jobs.
I think there's a serious problem. Yet, the state says that we've got underqualified people in big roles and positions. Mm. I mean, where's the balance?
There is no balance. I think that's the whole problem.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
But how do we? Not rectify this, but how do
we educate the people?
How do we educate?
Yeah, to go about this, the ones who are looking besides LinkedIn now, because I mean, let's say they don't have access to the internet all the time, you know, for those kind of things. And LinkedIn is more grown up platform, am I right?
It's not
for the youth.
It's not for the youth.
So they,
what it is, I mean, there's no reason, and I've seen some amazing LinkedIn, very creative LinkedIn profiles that have been done by very young people. So it is available.
I would
go for it as a young entrepreneur, particularly, Lebo, I don't know if you agree with me.
Yeah, I totally agree.
There's no reason why you shouldn't.
Okay.
But as you say, there are people that don't have access to those sort of facilities on an ongoing basis. But if we look at the CVs that we get in, we go through hundreds of CVs a day. And I'm not joking. We go through hundreds, and the quality of the CVs that we're getting are really bad. I'm not saying the quality of the person is bad.
Yes, but that was actually going to bring me to the next question, because most people don't know how to do
they
CVs.
They don't know how to do CVs, and things are changing. You know, people are doing CVs like they did 25, 30 years ago.
Mm.
You know, really, people. There's social media. We're very visual. We like to see photographs, and that'll probably get shot down about that too, because a lot of people don't like photographs on CVs because
they're saying it's discriminating.
I don't agree. I want to see a person's face. I remember CVs with photos on.
Yeah.
And besides, I mean, putting on my super sleuth suit, I'm going to go and find your Facebook profile anyway. So why not put
Stalker.
A really good photograph?
Strong image, yeah.
I'm getting a reputation, yeah. But what
makes a good CV? Sorry. I'm sorry for interrupting me. What makes a good CV?
I think a good CV is when somebody actually reads a job advert properly. I mean, we get people that are not even close to what we've asked for on a job description applying for a job.
Yeah.
Read the job description. Read the advert.
I think it's desperation as well sometimes.
It is desperation, I understand, but you're actually doing yourself more of an injustice by applying for jobs that you are not qualified for. And I think learning to sell to that particular job instead of having a generic CV that you use for every job and you send it out into the black hole, because that is what it is.
The Kimberly Grootgat.
It's a Grootgat, yeah. to actually so customize hard. Your CV for the job that you are looking for. You have to find the person's pain. In other words, the recruiter needs to find XYZ criteria for their client. So, at the top of your covering letter, at the top of your CV, before you talk about the rest of your life, put those points there so it's very easy for the recruiter to see
what
this person actually fits what I'm looking for.
Yes.
Okay.
Otherwise, we read through a CV that's 10 pages long and we get to the end and, you want a job in the Cayman Islands, you know?
Yeah.
So, what is the ideal amount of pages? 1, 3?
As many as it takes to sell yourself.
But it should take you like one paragraph, let's be honest, to sell yourself. It shouldn't take more than that. So what else do they need on there? Their contact details?
Obviously, their contact details. Please don't put ID numbers on CVs. It's just too dangerous these days. I see ID numbers on CVs all the time.
Sure.
With identity,
that's quite relevant. Yeah.
Identity theft being as it is today, you don't know where your CV is going. You're sending it off to somebody. In fact, even if you know where it's going, it could be lying on a desk somewhere and somebody gets access to that information. Well, your whole life story is on there.
Yeah,
well,
that's
thanks
so
for coming.
Valuable because, I mean, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, so definitely no ID numbers. And the second thing is residential addresses. Just put the area where you stay,
not your
full
address.
In fact, don't even put if you dependents and contact numbers, alternative contact numbers. You don't need that at that stage.
Mm.
If a recruiter is interested in you, they will ask you that later.
Mm.
So don't give too much information. You're actually putting yourself in jeopardy.
So not too much personal information.
Not too much personal information.
And stolen, basically.
Exactly. And people don't understand that we can't ask, are you married?
Oh, why not?
It's discriminatory.
Oh.
Okay. I can't ask you, do you have children? Hmm. It's discriminatory. I can't, if I've got two candidates, let's
male,
say.
Male, female?
I can't ask that either.
I didn't know that.
I can't ask age.
That's why you're stalkers.
Yeah, that's exactly why we're stalkers.
Yeah.
But how can you not ask age? Let's be honest, age needs to be considered for some jobs.
Well, we're not allowed to discriminate on age and, that's fine, but you can work out more or less how old somebody is. You can see by their qualifications when they completed matric. It doesn't take, it's not rocket science.
Okay.
But we just can't physically ask.
You see, people don't know this. I mean, how long have we been in it? And I didn't know. You put all this detail on, you know, and you send it off.
No, don't.
Okay.
Yeah. Final question to, I think, the both of you. Time's running out pretty thick and fast.
Already?
Yeah.
Time
flies when you're having fun, hey?
Yeah.
Now, Liv, where to from here? So next week, do we need to buy tickets?
The beautiful thing about anything associated with the hookup dinner for startups, it's usually free.
Except the dinner.
You buy your own stuff, but to access those platforms, they're free. So get onto the festivalofentrepreneurship.com and
say that slower.
Festival of Entrepreneurship.
Entrepreneurship.com.
Not 626 Festival.
Yeah.
Select the workshops or the events that you prefer throughout the week and send us an email. And
Is Adele invited?
Of course.
She is.
Well, she's inviting herself. She's going to go find your candidates. Beware.
This is why my business card is right here.
Oh, thank you so much.
I move.
Adele, we'll go through. We're going to spend 5 days there. Not that we can.
We can. The whole week, next week, Lebo, I'm committing to coming every day of the week for the entire week to support and to see what this is all about.
My team records every interview. I'm just saying.
Well, this is also there's a podcast on this as well. So
do that. Yeah. Maybe one of the days, but no.
So
on
Sunday's the launch.
Yeah, Sunday's the launch. Yeah. Friday's the finale. You want to be there on Friday.
So Sunday till Friday.
Yes.
Is GEP going to be there?
Of course, the CEO will be there.
Baby.
So on this website, we'll also see where exactly to go.
Yes, it's got all full details.
Okay.
I know that they're struggling a bit. Our developers are struggling a bit with the final bookings of the tickets. But what you can do, select the events that you like, put them on the email, and send it through to us. and we'll do it manually in the meantime. Yeah.
Fantastic. And if you want to, Adele, do you guys have some information on your website on what we spoke about now or not?
Yes, we do. I publish on LinkedIn as well, and a lot of those posts.
Yeah, she's a LinkedIn pro.
So who, LinkedIn pro. What if someone wants to find you on LinkedIn? What
LinkedIn? Just search me by name,
Adele
Bayes, B-U-Y-S.
B-U-Y-S.
Yeah. Adele Bayes.
That's it from us. We're leaving you with an AC/DC song, and that is a request from Adele Bayes herself.
Woo-hoo, the Burki.
The Burki, a.k.a. Have a good weekend.
I'll see you,
and we'll see you next week. Signing out from Bokhosi.
Speed Queen.
Speed Queen.
Adele.
Dr. Life's Good.
Dr. Life's Good.